It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you were made for this moment. We were made for this moment. So it's a Monday morning, and it's time to get at it. Thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and this whole team at Crawford Broadcasting. I'm lucky to get to work with such great people. So happy Monday to you, producer Steve.
Oh, you said it. Well, okay. I'll let you get away with it because we need to make note that it is November 1st.
Can you believe it?
No.
It seems like just yesterday it was springtime. And there is so much going on. I guess the other great thing about it is tomorrow is Election Day.
Oh, yes.
And then after that, we are looking at 2022. And, you know, it's going to be here before we know it. I think that we can mentally maybe just take a week off. Doesn't mean that we won't be working on things, but we have been pedal to the metal on this particular election, producer Steve. I'm going to talk about Prop 119. In the second segment, but I decided that we were going to leave it all on the field on this Prop 119, as well as this huge sales tax increase in Lone Tree. And I've learned a lot through both of these working in these elections. I've learned a lot, but with any with God's help, these things are going to go down. Hopefully that's going to be the case.
I love it when you say you learned a lot, because it's implied that maybe you learned some things you really didn't want to know.
You know what? I learned some. There was a confirmation on some things that I was surmising, and I learned that those things, in fact, were true. And a perfect example, we did a honk and wave for the vote no on Lone Tree 2E, which is a 55% increase in the retail sales tax from 1.8% to 2.8%. And the mayor, the city council, have used the different ordinances where we couldn't put up any signs to say no on 2E. It only could be on supposedly private property. Although I surmise that there's some pro 2E signs that are not on private property, but those signs didn't get taken down. But anyway, we're on a corner there on, let's see, I think it was Park Meadows Drive and Yosemite. And we'd done a honk a wave the week before, and we're there. They said that you can only, you have to be there holding signs if you were going to have any signs. So we decided to do honk and waves, which, you know, that takes a lot of energy to organize all that. So when I got there, I didn't realize that we couldn't also put signs in the easement while we were there. So I put signs in the easement because I thought that was okay since we were there. Within 10 minutes, ordinance enforcer that works for the city came and said we could only have signs that we held. Now, I thought that was pretty, you know, edgy on the freedom of speech thing, but we did take them out of the ground and just stood there with the signs that we held. But I took that as a sign, Steve, that we were making great progress. If they were coming down so hard on us, Steve.
I wonder if the signs they were concerned about were pro 2E, whether they would have said anything.
I kind of think not, because they've been using the official city website and the official email distribution list for the pro 2E sign. Their ordinance says that they have to also include the against arguments if they're going to use official city resources for that. And they're not doing that. We sent a notice and demand, and they just ignored us on it.
I do know this. You and I live fairly close to each other. We get that same newspaper that lands in our driveway on a Friday, I guess it is. Mm-hmm. I looked at mine Saturday afternoon, and it made me ill. I had to put it down because it was so biased. And I mean, I'm not just talking about the space that they purchased. That's one thing. other articles, the bias was just nauseating.
Well, let me just tell you, we did ask for the campaign finance information on the Yes and on 2E, and Colorado Community Media, which runs that newspaper, they contributed $2,500 to the pro-2E. So I found that super interesting. Did you hear what I said regarding the Colorado Community Media contributed $2,500 to the pro-2E campaign, which I thought was really interesting. So anyway, I did go ahead and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you could email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. Our voter's guide is there. It's time to get your ballots in. They are due by 7 p.m. tomorrow. You can track your ballot at colorado.ballottracks.net. And that ballot tracks is spelled BALLOTTRAX.net. And so you can track your ballot there. A couple of things. I wanted to go to our quote for today, because in the second segment, I'm really going to dissect something interesting that's happened on this Prop 119, which is LEAP, that new marijuana tax for the children. And because on this, I thought, let's talk about truth and honesty. And Albert Einstein said this. He said, whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. And as we get into these different elections and we see how numbers are finessed and manipulated, there is that component, but then there's downright mistruths as well. And I was thrilled. On Saturday morning, I decided to write an op-ed on Friday morning. I'd actually been wanting to do that, but we've been just so busy with other things. But after I saw this text that people shared with me, that Colorado Conservatives Ballot Initiative Voter Guide, and we're going to talk about it in the second segment, conservatives are voting yes on Proposition 119. I felt compelled that I needed to address that. And Westword, which is not a conservative publication by any stretch of the imagination, actually published that. So I would recommend that you just search for Westword and Kim Munson, and that piece will come up. And it's five reasons. Let's see, what did I title that? Five reasons to vote no on Prop 119.
You know, I almost fell out of my chair when I saw that. I guess you send out the text first, and I had to go see for that was for real, because Westword is certainly not known to lean towards the conservative viewpoint on anything. So congrats to you.
Thank you. I was really. I think when you get to really talk about principles, I think that's something that happens. But I get to work with so many great people on our team, and also I get to work with great people that sponsor the show. And I am so excited to introduce you to Barry Alpers. She's with Three Points Financial, and that's threepointsfinancial.com. And she's on the line, and they're new sponsors of the show. Mary Alpers, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you've been a longtime listener of the show, and so it's great now that you're going to be a sponsor of the show.
Yes, I have been listening for a long time, and I've really enjoyed it.
I was noticing something that Patty had in the headlines, and that is that people, wealthy people in particular, are starting to make adjustments regarding anticipated taxes with what may happen in the Biden administration. And the great thing about Three Points Financial is you are able to do tax planning, investment, and retirement planning. So you I think that's probably why you're called Three Points Financial Group, right?
That is right. We are fiduciary fee only, and our focus is on investments, retirements, and tax planning. And the beauty of what we do is both of us, both owners, the co-owner is Steve Cruz, we are both licensed to give tax advice, which is pretty unusual for a financial planning firm. And we don't sell anything or accept any commissions, so we're fiduciary. So it lets us look at each client and analyze their tax situations and how we can help them strategically to minimize their taxes. In fact, we just put a blog out on Friday on the website about the status of the spending bill, which isn't signed yet, but what we understand may be left off, which is actually good news for many people.
And so with so if people wanted to sit down and do a consultation with you, you said you're fee-based. What does that process look like? Is there a cost to sit down with you, or how does that all work out, Mary?
Well, we offer a complimentary initial consultation, but at that point, if they decide we want to go forward, then we gather their information and we prepare a proposal, and we make sure that we're a good fit for them. Our mission statement is to help them identify steps towards financial independence, and we want to make sure we can really do that because we are fee-only, so the client is paying us directly. And usually it's a great fit, and we put everything together and we begin, and our clients are very, very happy.
You know, Mary, when I, you and Michelle and Steve and I all met to determine whether or not we would work together, which I'm so excited that your sponsors actually of both the shows, one of the first things you said is that life is more than what you have in the bank account. Now, financial independence is super important, but this kind of this whole picture I thought was just so great, Mary.
Yes. One of our goals is to help people reach, we want to help them take care of their investments to live the life that they're called to do. We want to help them understand how much they need to save to reach those goals and how they're called to do them. And then we want to also, just for the most part, let people know how long they need or want to work. Some people just don't understand that maybe they only need to work a little bit more, or they may want to work a lot more, or they want to recharge their career in a different direction. And so it is more than just about money. It's about reaching a life goal that means a lot to them and to their families. We just feel that's really important.
Well, Mary Alpers, I'm so excited to have you and Steve and Michelle as sponsors of the show. How can people best reach you?
Well, they can call our office at 719-495-7163, or they can email us at mary@threepointsfinancial, or Steve at threepointsfinancial, or Michelle at threepointsfinancial. And we do have a website. We have a business Facebook page, and so just the general media. We try to keep up with blogs and postings of current tax events mainly. So they can usually find us somewhere. And we're down in Colorado Springs is our main office. Our second office is in actually Greenwood Village.
Okay. Okay. And that's 3 points with an S financial, 3 points financial. Mary Alpers, thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay. And before we go to break, another sponsor that keeps us our independent voice out there on the air is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And they are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And Hal, Linnea Van Herke are true entrepreneurs. And Hal actually has had a love for knives ever since he got that first pocket knife from his dad when he was a little kid. But Castlegate Knife and Tool has knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And Christmas is right around the corner. It's November 1st. We're going to snap our fingers, and it's going to be Christmas. So get that shopping done early. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for that. Whether or not your person you're buying a gift for is a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to do your shopping. Check them out at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back and continue on. We've got some new information on Prop 119, that new marijuana tax for the children that you won't want to miss.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We greatly appreciate it. We are an independent voice, as you can tell, as we look at our voter's guide. The voter's guide, I call it We the People Voter's Guide, because nobody paid us, influenced us on this. We did our best to take a look at these things, trying to determine what is best for Coloradans. How does it match up with the vision of the American idea that all men are created equal with rights from God, of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness? And with that, we've done our best to give you our opinions. We've linked all the documents, the background documents, so that you can make an informed decision. We encourage you to vote, but if people are not informed, don't vote. You have to make sure you know what and who you are voting for. And as many of you know, we're a strong no on these tax questions on the local level, because the way to increase taxes is by increasing the private industry pie. And the way to do that is lower taxes, lower regulations, and getting government out of the way, and take personalities out of it. Compare Trump's economy with the Biden economy. Trump's economy, lowered taxes, lowered rules, lowered regulations, and we were setting records on unemployment for blacks, for Hispanics, for women. The economy was growing. Now look at what's going on with the Biden economy. There are shortages. We have all kinds of ships waiting out in the Pacific Ocean trying to unload product. Which that hurts not only Americans and American businesses, but think about those that manufactured that. That hurts those people over in those countries as well. So you have to just really take a look at the two different ways that government could be very onerous. It can think that it's in charge, or like a Trump economy where it unleashes the private enterprise. And that's why we are a no on almost all of those tax increases. And bear in mind, as your property values are going up, that's an automatic tax increase because the property value, the assessed valuation, has gone up. Steve, I know that you've experienced that.
Oh, yeah. I had quite a surprise, a gift of, I guess it was 2019, but 27% 1 year.
And we're going to have another assessment here very soon. So, again, it's cool that property values are going up, but you're not selling your property, but your taxes are going up. And, of course, when we had Karen Levine and Lorne on last week, this Biden administration is kicking around the idea of taxing unrealized gains in your investment accounts and on your house, if you can believe that. And that will tax people out of their homes if that happens. And so, my friends, we realize that elections really matter. And Lincoln said that the ballot is stronger than the bullet, but it should be treated respectfully. And that means you need to know what you're voting on. So let's go over here to this Prop 119. Last Thursday, a couple of my friends who are Republicans received a text message that said Colorado Conservatives, it's their ballot initiative voter guide, and they were yes on 78 and 120. We are as well. Because it did make sense to me on 78 to move money over to the state legislature to make those decisions. Although supposedly Republicans wrote this, they detabored the excess revenue going into the future. And I don't like that at all. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, Kim, I think I'm going to be a no on that because of that. And I think that they could. I think that could be an okay vote as well. And then on Proposition 120, cutting property taxes, that also is a great idea. However, the state legislature decided to do an end run around that, and the governor signed it. And that's going to go to legal action if 120 passes. Again, I really wish that our guys who wrote that would have immediately sued whether or not 120 won or lost, because if the state legislature can thwart an initiative, That's a real problem. And so I think that they should have done the legal action immediately. But we are a yes on 78 and 120. And we gave you our thought process, and we hope that helps you make an informed vote. But what's happening with Proposition 119, this is this new marijuana tax for the children. This piece that was sent out is so untruthful, I can't even believe it. Because it says it's funding school choice. And again, this is Colorado Conservatives Ballot Initiative Voter Guide. And they say Proposition 119 funding school choice with marijuana taxes. There is no school choice in this whatsoever. And if you go to the piece that was published by Westword, my piece this weekend, we reference, I think it's on page 3 of the 14-page document. It says that none of this money can be used for school tuition. So tell me, how on earth can that be school choice if the money cannot be used for school tuition? Steve, do you want to comment on that whatsoever?
Well, okay, so there's one arrow, I guess, for lack of a better term. I have been listening a lot to the Yes on 119 commercial, I guess, the airtime that they buy. And they zero in on, for example, Mr. Brockler's op-ed in the Denver Post and saying how good it was to get the money out of the hands of politicians and into this group, this highly vaulted group of people. And I'm thinking, Mr. Brockler, that's exactly the problem here.
That is exactly the problem, because what it does is it creates, if this would pass, it would create an authority that would be governed by a 9-member board that's appointed by this governor, and they get to choose their replacements. So they are not accountable to the voter. They're not accountable to the state legislature. They're not accountable to future governors because they get to choose their own replacements. And they're not accountable to the Board of Education. So how they're touting this as a good thing, it is it is totally antithetical to representative government, Steve.
Well, exactly. And I'm thinking the semantics in that air, in that commercial time that they purchased, the semantics are, I don't know, what word best applies. They're almost lethal. Well, when they said get the money out of the hands of politicians, you say, well, yeah, who wouldn't want that? But the putting the money in the hands of these other people is not good either.
It's antithetical to representative government, and they're never going to be accountable. But then I want to go to the next thing here. It says, which is why liberal career politicians are opposing it. Go to the Leap for Colorado website, and guess what? Who are the first people that are endorsing this? A Jared Polis, Wellington Webb, Bill Ritter. Then we've got two Republicans, Bob Gardner and Bill Owens. Then we have Rhonda Fields, Mark Udall, and then Steve Durham, who is a Republican, and then a guy that I actually debated on Channel 31 back in 2016, Rudy Gonzalez, who's the executive director of Subversivos de la Raza, very left-leaning. So right there they say liberal career politicians are opposing it. Just go to the website. I mean, this is a blatant mistruth. And then the next thing that I would like to mention is it said that it would give financial aid directly to parents. And this is also untrue. If you go and you take a look at the 14 pages that are there, that in fact, the money never touches the parents. So it's not about empowering parents to be able to spend their money. So this 9-member board, unelected, unappointed, actually, they choose all the vendors. And when you go to the endorsement page, you can probably imagine that a number of these vendors are going to be ones that will be approved by them. And a couple of them, interestingly, on one of their websites, they're quoting Angela Davis, who was a very left-leaning militant. And, another talks about racial justice. And so these are going to be the kinds of organizations that parents can choose from. And then Patty had come up with this, I kind of missed this, that the money never touches the parents. So they would not ever know if something was overbilled. The money goes directly from the authority to the vendor. And so there's all kinds of things that are really wrong with this. But this little blurb that was sent out by these quote-unquote Colorado conservatives, and then they put their name on it. So I have to tell you what their names are. Bill Owens, former state treasurer Mark Hillman, former GOP Senate President John Andrews, George Brockler, and Rick Enstrom is running this campaign. And they are they're not telling us the truth on that, and I thought it was important that we talk about that. So again, check out my piece that was published in Westword. And I'd like to also just mention I have these great partners that I get to work with. And one of those great partners is Kirsch Insurance Group. And Danielle Green is with Kirsch Insurance Group. And hopefully we'll be talking with her in just a moment.
But, you know, so Danielle's not here yet, but you said this morning in the pre-call, hey, did you see those dollar amounts? And
oh, I forgot about that.
I got to tell you, that kind of is a sock in the gut to me, because historically, when the massive amounts of money are spent, that's usually where it goes, you know, once the election is over.
Okay. Thanks for reminding me on that, because Patty and I were checking Colorado Secretary of State Tracer report. And we've looked at this, and basically, my friends, we have zero. I think there's been about $15,000 that's been spent to oppose this. And I think from a small marijuana group, and I think also a teacher's group that is opposed to this. But the Gary, Gary Community Investment Company has really been the funders on this. However, right-leaning Ready Colorado has put in over $500,000 on this. But Gary Community Investment Company is liberal, to say the least, and if not leftist. Mike Johnston is the president and CEO, and he's a former Democrat state senator. He was a candidate for governor as well as a candidate for U.S. Senate. And as we're looking at this, I was astonished to see on October 20th, Gary Community Investment Company put in another $50,000. On October 26th, they put in $249,990. On October 26th, they put in $230,000. And on October 28th, they put in $250,000. So they're going to probably be bumping up at least about $3 million to our zero. So what, $3 million, I should say that, $3 million to zero. So our odds are 3 million to one, basically, that we're going to defeat this. But I know, Steve, you'd mentioned that you were concerned about these dollar amounts. However, I take this as a really good sign. If they thought that they were winning this, they would not be putting this kind of money in here. So my friends, get out there from the grassroots and make sure that you inform people in your sphere of influence. Let them know what's going on here and take a stand against these cronies. Because that's all this is these are cronies that have figured out a way to tax something, never have to be accountable. And they can take 10% off the top for the authority for administrative expenses. And then they can, the vendors, there's no limit from what I can see that they take for administrative expenses. And so take a stand against these cronies. One other thing, there is a Republican operative that is running this campaign, again, making big bucks on that. And we're going to probably be shedding light on this. Once the dust settles on this, we'll be able to see a lot, Producer Steve.
It almost sounds like Christmas come early.
I mean, it is for some of these folks.
Yeah, I hate to sound tacky or anything like that, but everything you just said about who benefits from this, as opposed to what they say who benefits from it, it's just a little...
You know, the other thing that's really frustrating about this is they say that it's for eligible children. So once again, they bring out lower-income people that they say that they want to help, but all the while they're squeezing the middle class, they're taxing the middle class, there's inflation, all the while they're squeezing the middle class. But it's almost cruel that they're using this, saying that they want to help children, when as we really look at this, it's and there may be a few kids that are going to be helped, but you know what, they're going to be controlling the message, controlling the vendors. They can take 10% off the top for to pad their pockets. Take a stand. Say no to these cronies. Vote no on Proposition 119. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Phil Kirpin, and he is with the American Commitment, and we'll be talking about Biden's double death tax. So stay tuned for that.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. And remember, my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest one, and that is the silent thief of government-induced inflation. On the line with me is Phil Kirpin, and he is the president of American Commitment. And he has written a piece just recently about Biden's double death tax. And in the Communist Manifesto, one of the three things that Karl Marx and Engel proposed is that there would be basically no inheritance, no passing on to the next generation. And so it is something that is one of the things that the Communist Manifesto had in there. And here we see Joe Biden wants to double down on the death tax. Phil Kirpin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ken, great to be with you.
So tell us what's going on regarding this. I know that Trump was trying to do what he could to fight these death tax, if you will, these inheritance tax. What's going on with this, Phil?
Well, you know, we've been at this fight over the state tax for, I don't know, decades at this point, and we have made substantial progress. The rate we've got from 55% down to 40%, and we've got the exemption amount, from, I think it was $600,000 before 2001, and now it's $12 million. So we've had multiple rounds of raising that exemption amount in particular, which has, it doesn't really solve the problem because you could still have the largest, most successful family businesses wiped out, and that can be devastating for a town. It has negative economic effects, but it has dramatically reduced the scope of the thing, so it doesn't hit nearly as many families as it used to. And Trump, who is prone to hyperbole, he says he repealed it. That's not quite true. I think he's saying he repealed it for most of the people in his audience who are under that $12 million, but, you know, they still might work for someone who is affected by it. So, I mean, it affects people in other ways. That said, what Biden proposed in his budget was a second death tax in addition to the estate tax. He wants to make capital gains. He wants to make death a realization event for capital gains tax purposes, which is to say when you die, everything you had will be subject to a capital gains tax on the difference between what was originally paid for, which could be a very small amount many decades ago, and what the IRS thinks it's currently worth. And then he wanted only a $1 million exemption for that. And then, you know, of course, if you were over $12 million, you'd get hit by the death tax as well. So you'd have the estate tax as well as this new capital gains tax, and that's why I called it a double death tax. That was the Biden proposal. Interestingly, the House, in its version of the reconciliation bill, rejected that. They said they did not have enough votes on the House Ways and Means Committee to do that, so instead they just cut the exemption amount of the estate tax from $12 million to $6 million, and that was really all they did on death taxes. And the even better news is that for the moment at least, and obviously it's all in flux and they could have a brand new version out tomorrow, but the version of the Build Back Better Act that was posted on Friday does not have any of these provisions. So there's no change in estate taxation. There's one exception. There is one change, which I don't even know if anyone's reported on this, but it didn't have the capital gains realization of death. It didn't have the cut in the exemption, but it did in its new billionaire surtax. And by the way, the billionaire surtax starts at $10 million. So it's not really billionaires. It's, you know, basically successful businesses. But in the provision that they have on that, on the surtax, it starts at $10 million for people who are alive, but it starts at $200,000 for estates. And so if you're unfortunate enough to die under this bill that the Democrats want to pass now, and your estate has not closed out, it hasn't gone through probate, it's still earning income from whatever assets you have, any income above $200,000 would be subject to a surtax under this bill. So there is that, but that is the only death tax feature in the current draft version of the bill. So we've done a pretty good job, I think, of pushing back on this idea of capital gains taxation at death, and it looks like there were enough Democrats that pushed back on that for now, at least, it's not in the bill.
Okay, so Phil Kirpin explained to me how these billionaire taxes, $200,000 is not a billionaire. So this is, looks correct, like a bait and switch to me.
Yes, that's obviously correct. Even for the people who are alive, $10 million is not a billion either. And, you know, of course, you know, you can see what they're trying to do. Instead of just raising the existing rates, they're essentially creating new brackets. And so they're creating a new bracket with an extra 5%. And so instead of 37, it's 42. But not even really, because there's another 3.8%, the Obamacare net investment income tax. They expand that to all income under this bill. So they're basically, they take the top rate under this bill from the current 37. They add 3.8 on the top. That takes it to 40.8. Then they've got this 5% surtax at 10 million. So you're at 45.8, and then there's another 3% surtax at $25 million. So you're at 48.8 before you even get to state and local. And so most businesses that are run as pass-through entities, as corporations, partnerships, and so forth, under this Democratic bill, if it passes under the current version, they're going to be looking at a tax rate, just a federal tax rate of around 50%, and then, you know, with state and local taxes well in excess of 50%. And, you know, we're not talking about the rates back pre-Reagan, where the rates were sort of notional because there was so much that was excluded from income and you could deduct all interest expense and everything like that. I mean, we've substantially reduced the deductions and exemptions and so forth over time because we lowered rates. Now they want to jack rates back up through the roof on that broader tax base. And so if they pass this, the income tax side is going to be very bad for businesses that are organized through the individual code, which is most businesses. Most businesses in this country are not incorporated. And so I think what they're doing on individual rates is very misguided. And what they're trying to do, Kim, is they're trying to say, well, we didn't raise the rates. We just have surtaxes. Well, that's obviously a distinction without a difference. You've just created new brackets. You're just calling your higher rates surtaxes instead. If Kyrsten Sinema goes for that after saying she wouldn't raise rates, then, you know, I don't know. She's either an idiot or she was lying.
Well, hopefully she'll hold the line on that. Phil, as I think about this, when what we saw with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, where they came out and they said that some businesses were essential and some weren't. So corporate businesses were essential, but the mom and pops, they weren't. And then here, what I hear you saying is that this is really going to affect, again, individual businesses. This, all these different policies I am seeing is really an assault on the American entrepreneur, the American idea, the middle class. I see this as, once again, trying to break the back, trying to crush the middle class. And as I was going through, I normally do quotes for the show, and sometimes you can find out a lot when you go to the bad guys. And Vladimir Lenin said the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation. And that is what I see that is coming out of these politicians. I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, not only at the federal level, but on the state and local as well. But this just seems like an assault, again, on the middle class, which is very communistic.
You know, I think there's a lot to that. And frankly, and to me, you know, we could go through all the details of this thing, and they're all outrageous. And, you know, but if we did that, they might all change tomorrow. So, you know, who knows? It's still in flux. But I'll tell you, to me, the most offensive thing in this entire bill is that it doubles the size of the IRS in terms of its employees. I mean, it pumps up their budget, I think, $45 billion, something like that. It literally doubles the number of agents working for the IRS. And they claim that this is going to create this huge gusher of federal revenue because everyone's cheating on their taxes. But, you know, the big companies and the ultra rich will always, literally always, have better tax lawyers than the IRS. They're not going to lose. They're going to win every single time when the IRS says, we think you owe more money. They've got the lawyers on their payroll who will say, okay, great, we'll see you in tax court and we'll win. And they will win every single time. But when you double the size of the IRS, that means every mom and pop, every normal family is at great risk of getting some letter in the mail that says, hey, we think you owe an extra $2,000 from this year or $1,600 from that year or whatever. And the vast majority, even if their IRS is wrong, which they probably will be in most of these cases, the vast majority of people will look at it, look at the amount, look at what they would cost, look at what it would cost them to hire someone to fight it, and they'll just pay it. And, you know, some of them are going to try to fight and they'll get harassed with audits. And, you know, but to your point, This supersizing of the IRS, to my mind, is entirely about harassing the small business person, the independent person who's making their own way, doing their own thing, entrepreneur, what have you, because the big guys have all the lawyers on the payroll to fight it all day. And it doesn't cost them anything. They don't have to hire anyone. And right. That, to me, is the most offensive part of this whole bill, is the doubling of the size of the IRS. And to your second point, yeah, every single thing this administration wants to do, every single thing in their agenda makes inflation worse. And so I don't see how they can do it. First of all, I don't think anyone believes their story that prices are only up 5% in the past year, because anyone who goes grocery shopping knows that's not true. And it's much, much more than that. And, you know, but you look at what they want to do. They want to dramatically restrict American energy. Well, if you do that, not only is it more expensive to pay your bills and to fill up at the pump, but every single thing you buy is more expensive because everything has to be grown, shipped, or manufactured. You look at what they're doing on spending, all of the trillions of dollars that they spent already and the additional trillions they want in this new bill that's up. There aren't real buyers for that. It's not really being borrowed. The Federal Reserve is buying those treasuries, which means they're creating the money out of thin air, which devalues the dollar, makes everything more expensive. And then all of the taxes that they're putting on businesses, every single one of them will tend to be passed on in higher prices. And so every single part of the Biden agenda, no matter what they say or claim they want to do, unless they abandon the whole agenda, everything is going to continue to push in the direction of higher prices.
It is just astounding, Phil Kirpin, what is going on. And I think that everyday hardworking people are waking up to this. Phil, let's go to break. Stay with us through the break because I want to continue the conversation about these taxes that are being proposed, or surcharges. It's just a different name. Either way, it's money taken from you that goes to the government. Before we do that, though, another great partner of both shows, the America's Veteran Stories and the Kim Munson Show, is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations. That's Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have burger specials. They're keeping the line on that, even with all the inflation that's going on out there right now. And they have $10 specials for their burgers. They have a mushroom burger, bacon blue, Southwest, Western, mac and cheese, and a Cali burger. So again, check out my website. I have all of my very, very valued sponsors there. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Phil Kirpin. He is the president of American Commitment and working an American commitment to try to fight this big, big government and these very bad policies. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. Before we get back to Phil Kirpin with American Commitment, another great sponsor of the show is Kirsch Insurance Group. They are specialists in the Medicare arena. Right now we're in what's called the, I think it's the open enrollment period. And that's where you can make changes to your Medicare plan for 2022. And you have a certain time frame to do that. It's October 15th through December 7th. And what it really may affect is your current insurance plan may change how they cover your prescriptions. And you want to know that. And Marlon Kirsch and Danielle and Naomi and the team at Kirsch Insurance Group, they have a software package where they can figure out what, you know, what your prescriptions are and what your coverage is going to be. And then you can make adjustments so that you know that you are poised for success for 2022. So reach out to them at iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. And it doesn't cost you anything. I'd highly recommend that you do that. Phil Kirpin with American Commitment. As you were talking about all these IRS agents, I was going back to the Declaration of Independence. You know, the colonists had they really tried to work with King George for many, many years, and he kept putting these different taxes on them, the Stamp Act, all these different taxes on them. And finally, when they'd had enough, they did the Declaration of Independence, but they put in there like 27 reasons why they wanted to break up with King George. And one of them was he has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. I think that's a 1776 way of saying hiring a whole bunch of IRS agents to go out and harass our people and get more taxes. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's a very astute observation. I'm going to have to steal that that reference. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's the modern equivalent.
Well, and then one other thing, I was just running through these the other day. I found this for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. And I was just thinking of all those container ships off the California coast at Long Beach. I'm like, that's kind of seemed the same to me as well.
Pretty similar. That one's more California stupidity than federal, though, because they've got their environmental regulations block, you know, half the trucks out of the ports if they're not modern and green enough. And their AB5 law basically prohibits owner-operator truckers in the state of California. And so you restrict the vehicles, you restrict the drivers. It's a recipe for disaster. And so I on that one, I actually blame Newsom and California's own stupid policies more than I blame Biden, but it's definitely the same liberalism disease.
The same policies. So, it sounds like you are on Capitol Hill somewhat trying to influence this. Tell us what this looks like. You know, we're out here in Colorado. What does this look like as they're talking about all these different bills? And it sounds like it's a moving target. What's going to be in there? What's not? What does that look like, Phil Kirpin?
Well, it's a remarkable situation because the Democrats have decided to do this entirely on their own with no Republican input. And, of course, that means, given their, you know, that the Senate is divided and the House is a very narrow Republican majority, that means that they got a very narrow Democratic majority. That means that they've basically got to get unanimity among Democrats in the Senate and near unanimity among Democrats in the House. And that's a very difficult thing to do, even though the Democratic Party has become more ideologically, consistently left. They still have a lot of internal divisions that have been difficult for them to paper over. And in particular, they've got Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who objects to all the global warming stuff they want in the bill because he's from West Virginia. And you've got Kristen Sinema from Arizona, who says that she's against raising tax rates. And so they're trying to craft a bill that can
they can get those two on board, and that's what they've been trying to do for the last, you know, 6 months or whatever it's been now. At the same time, they've got this so-called infrastructure bill, which, by the way, only 10% of the money in that one goes to roads and bridges, so that one's misnamed also. It has a lot of nonsense in it as well, but they've got that bill that has already passed the Senate. That one was bipartisan, which has been held hostage in the House by the Progressive Caucus, which is basically saying, look, we're not going to pass that bill until you pass, you know, the welfare expansion bill with the, you know, government takeover of child care and nursery schools and, you know, all of the vast spending on climate and all the rest of that stuff. And so essentially, they've been sort of at a standoff on that. What it looks like Nancy Pelosi now wants to do is to pass the infrastructure bill and the revised latest, greatest version of the second bill, which is called the Reconciliation Bill or the Build Back Better Act or, you know, the Make America Go Broke Faster Act or the Big Government Socialism Bill, or everyone's got a different name for it. But essentially, she wants them to take a leap of faith that this version will be acceptable to the Senate and to finally go ahead and release their hostage. And so they're trying pretty desperately to get that done today and tomorrow, because if Republicans have a blowout win on Tuesday in Virginia and or New Jersey, they fear that that will sort of shatter their chances of getting consensus and they won't be able to pass anything. So they feel a lot of time pressure to get it done today and tomorrow. I don't believe they will be able to do so because they've already missed, you know, their last 10 deadlines, but that's what we're watching right now.
Okay, Phil Kirpin, I can't believe that tomorrow is Election Day 2021. So 2022 is right around the corner. What's your crystal ball look like for this next year?
Well, I think it looks like a big Republican year for the reasons we were talking about in the last segment. Everything that the Democrats are doing pushes in the direction of higher prices, which is already the biggest pain point for the American people. I think it's only going to be worse a year from now. And so I expect the backlash against that to power a pretty big Republican year.
And Phil, though, I'm very concerned because they are trying to push through all of this stuff at warp speed. I see real challenges regarding national security with China and with the border, just bringing all these people in. Biden last week said that he was going to give different families $450,000 per person Yeah, it looks to me like they're trying to break America before this next election, and I'm very concerned about it. I have a lot of listeners that reach out to me. They're just beside themselves. What would you say to them?
Well, I think that right now the most useful thing people can do is to, you know, write to your senators and to your congressmen and tell them to vote no on these bills and really put pressure on them and try to make it difficult. You know, I think that yeah, we have a very good chance of actually stopping these things or making them be trimmed even further. They've already cut the big one in half from their original ambitions. And so none of this is predetermined. Obviously, they're going to try to do all of it, but it's not a certainty that they'll be able to. To a certain extent, they've got to be responsive to the public. And then, of course, I would say, you know, next time we do have Republicans in, we've got to be willing to dial back a lot of these things. And that's something Republicans have not been good at. As Democrats pass these huge spending expansions, Republicans get in, and they don't repeal them. And so, you know, that's going to be, we're going to have to hold their feet to the fire also. And, you know, whatever does pass, try to actually roll it back. So I would just say, you know, don't get discouraged. I know a lot of people who've been at this for a long time are sort of, burned out, I guess would be the word. And obviously dealing with all the crazy COVID restrictions and all the nonsense with that didn't make it any better. But I would just say that right now, I think things are swinging back in our direction. We've got a very unpopular president who's pushing a lot of very unpopular ideas, and we've just got to stay engaged, and I think we can win some of these fights.
Well, and one other thing over here on the Republican side, we need to start to have Republicans that, and when I say the word conservative, I mean conserving the American idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's what we need to do. And I talked about it earlier before you were on about this new marijuana tax for the children, quote unquote. We are a strong no on that. And we've got Republicans that have their names on it. And we when you say we have to hold their feet to the fire, I have been very reticent to name names on this. However, last week, they sent out a text message with their names on it, so I felt I needed to name names on that. But we must make sure that we are moving back to representative government that is accountable to the people. Phil Kirpin, I so appreciate you joining us today. We have a minute left. What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I think that I would just, well, you know, I'm going to mention one other issue quickly in this last minute, which is, you know, the federal government contractor vaccine mandate has a December 8th effective date on it. And on December 8th, thousands and thousands of people, including many in mission-critical national security roles, are going to be fired, even if they're 100% work from home, even if they're willing to take tests or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's going to be vaccinated or fired for all federal contractors come December 8th. I'm really trying to get a vote in Congress to overturn that and block that because I just find it so incredibly outrageously, not just immoral and wrong and economically destructive, but from a national security standpoint, so many of those people are irreplaceable and we're just going to be punching holes in our whole national security apparatus. So that's one more issue I wanted to use my last minute to mention because I am hoping that we're going to be able to get a vote in Congress on overturning that, and we're going to have to try to get a lot of pressure on that vote.
Phil Kirpin, I think we need to stay in touch. Thank you so much for joining us. Phil Kirpin, he is the president of American Commitment. So thank you so much, Phil.
All right, have a good one.
And our quote for today is from Aesop. He said, "You can fool people some of the time, but you can't fool them all of the time." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.